Today she is Masechta Zvachim Da Pei Gimel. We will begin in Da Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line, Nichnas L'Chaper. As we have been learning, the Torah says that if somebody brings the carbon, the blood of a carbon, certainly if it's the blood of a carbon chatos, into the Beis HaMikdash, that blood becomes disqualified. Actually, as we discussed extensively in the previous year, it may even disqualify any remaining blood in the Azara. However, we learned in the Mishnah, a Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, where if somebody brought blood into the Beis HaMikdash with the intent to use it for Zrika, will that blood become disqualified as soon as it enters the Beis HaMikdash? Or does it only become disqualified when the Zrika is done? And actually, in our previous year, we mentioned the Machlokes v'Achronim, that according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, that it doesn't become disqualified until the Zrika is done. How much of the Zrika has to be done? With some Achronim suggesting that some Zrika is enough, and other Achronim suggesting that all of the Zrikas have to be done, and then and only then would the blood become disqualified. So we have a Machlokes Rabbi Elazar, that even in this case, the dam becomes disqualified as soon as it enters, whereas we have the opinion of Shimon that it only becomes disqualified when the Zrika, to use the words Gemara, when the Kapara is done. Tanya, and the Gemara now gives the basis of this Machlokes. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nemakan, the Torah, when it speaks about the avoider of this blood, used the words l'chapa b'kodesh. V'nem l'halam is a very famous pasuk that refers to the avoider Yom Kippurim. And the pasuk says, v'chol adam l'yeh ba'il mo'yed b'voy l'chapa b'kodesh. No one is allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol does the avoider Yom Kippurim. Ma l'halam, when may someone not be in the Beis HaMikdash already b'shloi kippur, even before the Kohen is doing any Avoida? So we see that the Isra has nothing to do with the Avoida. Afkan, the Isra of bringing the blood into Beis HaMikdash, B'shloi Kippur, has nothing to do with the Avoida, and as soon as the blood enters, it becomes possible. Ask the Sfas Emes. The Gemara is saying a whole new understanding of this very famous pasuk of V'chol Adam La'yir B'Kodesh, V'chol Adam La'yir B'Ayil Chapa L'Kodesh. Then not only when the Kohen Gadol, which we all know is Pshat in the Pasuk, is doing the Avoida, may no one be in the Beis HaMikdash, but even before. He says, where does it say that in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, B'voy l'chap l'kadosh, when he's doing the Avoida. Yeah. So the Sfas Emes has two truths. One teretz is, there's a famous question that the Medrash poses. It's answered very much homiletically, but it's a posh the kasha. The Pasuk says, B'chol Adam lo yeh ba'yil mo'yed. So what's posh the taich of the pasuk? V'chol adam lo yeh ba'yil mo'yed. No one's allowed to be there. But that's not true. Isn't the Kohen Gadol a person? So what does it mean v'chol adam lo yeh, that no human being may not be there? So they answer that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not like an adam, he's a malach. But what's pshat in the pasuk? Says the Sfas Emes, that's what this Gemara is teaching us. Everybody has to leave the Beis HaMikdash before the Kohen Gadol goes in. So you have that moment that the Kohen Gadol hasn't yet entered, and everyone else has left. And what is the Torah teaching us? You're going to have a moment that no one is there. No human is there. But boil a couple of kodesh before he does the kapara, before he does the avoida. So from here we see that even without the avoida, it's aser. That's one teretz the Sfas Emes says. Another teretz that he says is that let's read the entire pasuk. As I said, it's a very famous pasuk. Until he leaves. So the question is, of course, v'atzeisai. What does the Torah have to add the words v'atzeisai? To teach us that it's already after the Kohen did the Avoida. He already completed the Avoida. Still, you're not allowed to be in there v'atzeisai until he completely exits. So we see that the Torah is teaching us that even when the Kohen is not doing the Avoida, no one else is allowed to be there. And that's the basis of Rabbi Elazar's limud. Rabbi Shimon, as we said, disagrees. He says, if you brought blood into the Beis HaMikdash, which you shouldn't have, but your intention was not to do Zrika with it, it won't become disqualified until you do the Zrika. Why? Says Rav Shimon, Nemekan, he starts the same way as Rav Elezer does. The Torah used the words L'chaper. And then the Torah, when it speaks about the Parim and the Sirim and the Srofim, uses the words Vespara Chatz Rasir Chatas Ashahuva Estoma L'chaper. Malahalon. Just like over there, the Torah is referring to after Vishakeeper, that the Torah says Vespara Chatas, that Vesparachatas, Vesarachatas, Shuvah Domam, Lechapa Bekoidish, Yoitzia Mechutz Lamachna, that the Torah says that you have to take it out to the base of Deshen, Vesarfa Be'eshas, Arosam, Vesarim, Vespirsham, you have to completely have it burned by the fire. When is that done? Melhalim B'Shekeeper. It's after the Avoidu was done. Av Kan, when the Torah uses the words Lechaper, it's talking about only after the Zerika is done. And therefore, until the Zerika is done, the dam doesn't get disqualified. Ask the Gemara, B'maikimifki, what is the basis of the Machlaikas? Ma'asav donim chutz michutz, vein donim chutz mifnim. Rabbi Lezer prefers to learn a limud from our dam, which is supposed to remain outside the base of the Mikdash, to the people who are supposed to remain outside the base of the Mikdash Yom Kippur, and not make a limud with the kabbonis that go into the base of the Mikdash. Whereas Rav Shimon prefers Donim b'behema b'behema, he says it's a better comparison when you compare power of Yom Kippur to the animal, to the chatos, the animal, then Donim b'behema adam, versus making a comparison between a person and an adam. So again, to continue learning our Mishnah that we discussed yesterday, Rav Yehuda made a very important statement. Yehuda says that this entire din that we have been discussing, that if the dam is brought into the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes disqualified, it's only if it was b'mezid. B'shoigig, it wouldn't be that way. Ha-mezid, possible. So ask the Gemara the following question. B'shekeeper, b'shloikeeper. As the Rishonim say the question, the Gemara is trying to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We just finished learning a machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Shimon, we learned, is a very big makel. He says, just taking the dam in is not enough. You have to do the avoida. So when Rabbi Yehuda now adds a new kula, that it's only usur, b'mezid, not b'shoigig, how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, asked the Gemara? Is Rabbi Yehuda basing his leniency? First he accepts Rabbi Shimon's leniency, and now he says, I'll tell you another kula. Or one has nothing to do with the other. He could agree with Rabbi Lezer in that shaila, but in this shaila he's makel. And that's the Gemara's question. B'shekeeper, is Rabbi Yehuda agreeing with Rabbi Shimon, or B'shloikeeper, or is he even agreeing with Rabbi Lezer? I'm Rabbi Yemiya. So Rabbi Yemiya answers the Gemara as follows. The Pasuk says, Mimashma Shenemar, since the Torah uses the words, Ves Parachatas Vaserachatas, Ashehuva Domam, this is the Pasuk that we just read, Ashehuva Domam Chap B'Kodesh, and then the Pasuk continues, that the person who takes the pa'orim and seerim that were brought inside the base of Migdash, outside to the base Hadeshem, to burn it, we discussed yesterday, outside of the three machnas, there was a special place where they burnt these kabbonis. And the Torah uses the words, v'asarifay sam yechabes begodov, v'rochetz b'star b'mayim, v'achrei kein yoval amachna. That whoever does this burning, his clothing become tamei, he becomes tamei. So now the question says, "V'mashu shenem v'aspara chatos chatos shehuva estamam lechab b'kodesh ma tam aloyim v'asoyrif." Ask the Gemara. I don't understand what the Bryce is asking. Ma tam aloyim v'asoyrif? What kind of a question is that? Legufa yitzrich. The pasuk is teaching us a tremendous new law that whoever is involved in burning these kabbonis becomes tamei. What kind of question is this? And ma tam aloyim chatos chatos. What does the Torah use the words? Again, let's just read the words. Vesparachatos, vesarachatos. What does the Torah repeat the word sparachatos, the word chatos twice? Lefi, continues the Braisa, shloi lamadna lepav esorshim kippurim, shenisrofim beis adeshin. That these chatos pnimius must be burnt there. Mitam and begodim. And that the halach is that the person who does that burning, his clothing becomes tamei. Shanisrofim. But there are other, as we've been learning in our sugyas, other karmachatas that are brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Parhelm Dovish Atzibur, Parkai Mashiach. We've been learning them back to Masechta Harius. Menayin, how do we know that the same rule applies? Talmud Loimer, Chatas Chatas to Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you know how you learn that? From the extra Chatas Chatas. Remei Oimer. Remei says, I don't need the Chatas Chatas to teach me that. Enot Sarach. Haroimer, because the Pasuk says, Ves Parachatas Veser Chatas, Shein Talmud Loimer L'chaper, that the word L'chaper is superfluous. Because we know that that's what the Kabbalists do. Matam Eloimu, why does the Torah add the word L'chaper? Limud, a kolam eskaprim, shasar from matam begodim. So Ramea says we can learn it from the extra word L'chaper. So ask the Gemara, so why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with Ramea's approach? Rabbi Yehuda, L'chaper like Mashmalei. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that. Why doesn't he agree with that? Because he needs the L'chaper for the previous Kseir Shava. My Tama, he needs it for the Gzera Shava that we just learned a moment ago. To teach us, as Rav Shimon said, that you're not chayiv for bringing dam into the Beis HaMikdash until you do the Zrika. So obviously, that's why he had to use a different word, because that word L'chaper is, so to speak, already occupied. So it's a raya that Rav Yehuda agrees with Rav Shimon, and now he needed a different word, chatas chatas, to make his point, to make the point that it, about all parim hanisrafim, the person who does the sreifa becomes tameh. So the Gemara maskana is Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Shimon, and he also has another kula. Before we complete our perek, there's a tremendous question that the Sfasemis asks. Roy Dvarim Lamisha Amram. He says, as we've been learning in our perek back to our previous year, the Gemara actually taught us two different sources how we know that if you bring dam into the Beis HaMikdash, the dam of a chatas chitzoni for sure, perhaps other kabbalas also, that, as we've learned, that disqualifies the blood. The Rabbanan, the Chachamim, learned from a pasuk, v'chal chatas ha-shiyuva midom el-oil moid, l'chapa b'kodesh, l'soich l'be'esh tisarif. But we learned yesterday, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Gemara said, needs that pasuk for other halachas. So how does Rabbi Yosef Glili know the rule? From the famous dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Do you remember? On Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Yoim Chanukas HaMishkan, there was also Rosh Chodesh Nissan. They brought the Sar Rosh Chodesh, and the Sar Rosh Chodesh, the Karban Chatas of Rosh Chodesh, was burnt. And Moshe Rabbeinu challenges Aaron, why did you burn it? So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, Hein lo huvedama el Chodesh Pnima. The blood wasn't brought in. Because if it would be brought in, I could well understand why you burnt it. It was burnt for, and that's, but he says, I know that didn't happen. So again, he's challenging Aaron, why did you burn it? Ask the Sfasemis. We just learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That even if the blood was brought into the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't make the carbon possible. Only if it was done intentionally. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So is it possible, asked the Sfas Emes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was accusing Aaron of deliberately bringing the dam into the Beis HaMikdash? How can we think of that? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu thought of Aaron? Answers the Sfas Emes, a big chiddush. He says, we're used to learning that the definition of shogeg means either you don't know something is asur, or you forgot something is asur. Says the Sfas Emes, here the definition of shayeg only means that you don't know it's us. You forget that here the definition of shayeg will include, and here the definition of shayeg will only be someone who didn't know it's usher. But let's say somebody got confused. He knew the halacha, but he's confused. He won't be a shayeg. He'll be considered a mazid, bichidish. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's challenge to Aaron. We know that that was the day that Nadav and Avihu died. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Aaron, maybe in the terrible confusion of the day, you brought the dam in, and then you'll be considered amazed. Which even according to Yehuda, the carbon will become possible. And maybe is that what happened? He said, I know it didn't happen. But it couldn't have been that Moshe challenged Aaron that he did mamish b'mezid. That could have never happened. We begin now the Perek of HaMizbeach Mekadosh, which actually the concepts that we're going to be discussing extensively in this parak are actually halachas that we've encountered numerous times in our shiurim in Masechet Zvachim. And that is the halacha of im olu lo yardu. That many times the halacha is that if something is put on the Mizbeach, even though it shouldn't have been put on the Mizbeach, it should remain there. Just a few words of introduction. The Rishonim say that when we discuss the halacha of something being put on the Mizbeach, that it should remain there under all circumstances, we're speaking about the Mizbeach HaChitzen, not the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Interesting shailin the Achroinim. What about a Bama? We know that at different periods of our history, Klai saw a lot of bring kabanas on a Bama. Will the halacha olu lo yardu apply by a Bama? So the Brisker Rav makes a very interesting distinction. And actually, this distinction, besides that it having relevance to the specific question that we're asking, is also going to be a very important concept. There really, says the Brisker Rav, two different concepts that people interchange, but are not really the same. One is the halachim olu layerdu. That if it was put on the Mizbeach, it shouldn't be burnt. It shouldn't be taken down. Then there's another concept. Eish achlosim. That once the Mizbeach starts to burn something, it becomes the food, so to speak, of the Mizbeach, and you don't take it away from the Mizbeach. Now, those are two different concepts, says the Rav. And says the Brisker Rav, the din of olu layerdu doesn't apply on a bama, but the din of eish achlosim does apply to a bama. But now, I'm going to pose a question. I'm going to perhaps even try to say some nafgaminis to this question. And I'm also going to say that this question is a question that we should have in mind as we learn the entire parak. And every Gemara, almost many Gemaras, will fit into this question. We're learning, as I said, it's not a new concept, tolitas, the concept of olu layerdu. Ask the Mefarshim, how are we to understand this rule of olu layerdu? Are we to understand this rule that the Mizbeach is like some sort of ir miklat? That there's a rule that anything that's put on the Mizbeach remains there, no matter what. That doesn't mean that you were yoytz to the mitzvah of the carbon. If you put a carbon on the Mizbeach, it doesn't mean you were yoytz to the mitzvah. You weren't yoytz to the mitzvah. It doesn't belong on the Mizbeach. There's a special rule that it should be left on the Mizbeach. Another way, however, of learning it is that im olu layerdu, that the Torah says that you shouldn't put this carbon for whatever reason, as we're going to learn extensively in our parak, on the Mizbeach. Yet the halacha is that if you put it on the Mizbeach, then the Torah says it becomes a valid carbon. What would be the nafkamina? There'll be very many nafkaminas. I could give you a few to think of. What would be the halacha if you put on less than the shear? So if you say it's a din, that anything put on the Mizbeach remains there, so it doesn't make a difference how much you put on. If we say it because it makes it into a valid carbon, you have to have the right shear. Another nafkamina. What would be the halacha if it was done intentionally? The person who was putting it on the Mizbeach knew that this shouldn't be put on the Mizbeach, and he put it there anyway. If we're going to say that there's a halacha that the Torah was mechadish, that anything that's put on the Mizbeach, even if it doesn't belong there, remains there, so it makes no difference if it was done intentionally or unintentionally. You have to leave it there. If, however, it's a halacha that if you put it there, the eved, it's going to be fine, then the halacha perhaps will be only if you did it b'shoigig, not if you did it b'mezit. Another nafkamina. What would be the halacha if you put some, when we always speak typically about the halacha olu layerdu, what do we speak about? We speak about something, and that's going to be the primary subject of our parak. You speak about something that's disqualified. What happens if you put on something that belongs in the Mizbeach? Yes, you put it on the wrong time. Or it could be on the Mizbeach, but that really isn't the right place. We're going to speak in the parak that you did the shechit of a carbon on the Mizbeach. There's nothing inherently wrong. There's nothing inherently right. What would be the halacha? If we say that the din is that anything that's on the Mizbeach must remain there, so even if the carbon was done properly, you can't move it anymore. If we're saying it's a halacha that the evid, if you did the wrong thing, the Torah says to do it, to leave it, it's fine. So then only if you did the wrong thing. If you did the right thing, we don't need that halacha. One final nafkamina. We know that many of the avoidas of kabbaras that involve chilul Shabbos. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to do them. It means you're allowed to do them. The Torah tells you you should do it on Shabbos, but the Torah says you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos on to do the avoida in the Beis Hamikdash. So what would be the halacha if you put something on the mizbeach on Shabbos that doesn't belong there, but it requires further avoidas that involve chilul Shabbos? If we're saying that it's a din, that whatever's put on the mizbeach just remains there, the mizbeach is, so to speak, coiled it, so you can't do any more. You just leave it, and whatever it is, it is. If, however, the din is that once it's put on the mizbeach, it becomes a valid carbon, so now you can continue even being mechallel Shabbos. So says the Mishnah. So this is a question we should think about when we learn our perek. Says the Mishnah, mizbeach mekadesh es haroi lo. The way many Rishonim explain this line, this opening statement of the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah is beginning with an opening statement. The Mishnah begins with an opening statement, HaMizbeach Mekadosh Es Haroi Lo, that the Mizbeach has only Mekadosh certain items. And now the Gemara, now the Mishnah itself, is going to start discussing what does that mean. Rishuimer, Kol Haroi Lo Ishim. It's only something that is burnt on Mizbeach. That's where the halacha is, that if it's put on the mizbeach, it should remain there. Shenema, what is the basis of Yeshua's opinion? Shenema, hiya oilo amoito, my oilo shiroi l'ishim, oilo has to be burnt. Af, also the halacha is, even if it shouldn't have been put on the mizbeach, it should remain there. Af kolahu shiroi l'ishim, anything that's supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, the halacha is oilo lo yerid. Rav Gamliel takes a different view. What's Rabbi Gamliel saying? That it doesn't have to be something burnt on the Mizbeach. Anything that belongs on the Mizbeach, the halacha is Ola lo yerid. Shenemar, here Ola amoita al Mizbeach. Ma Ola shirui al Mizbeach. If the Ola belongs in the Mizbeach, im also lo yerid. Af kol dover shirui al Mizbeach. Anything that belongs in the Mizbeach, the halacha is im also lo yerid. So the Mishnah right away is trying to tell us, so what is the real nafka meaning between Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua's opinion? Says the Mishnah, Ein bein divrei Rav Gamliel divrei Rav Yeshua, al adam v'nesachim. We know that in the carbon there's dam, the carbon is nesachim, but not, they're not burnt, they're just placed on the Mizbeach. So Gamliel Oimer, Gamliel says, they belong in the Mizbeach. And Gamliel says, there's halacha, anything that belongs on the Mizbeach, if you put it there, even though you shouldn't have, it remains there. Because it's not something burnt on the Mizbeach. So I want to tell you over, the Rishonim make a very interesting point. So according to Yeshua, if you put dam on the Mizbeach, Yeshua says, since it's not something that's burnt, it should be removed. And Gamliel says, leave it there. Say to Rishonim, when did Yeshua say his halacha? Yeshua says his halacha, if you have a container of dam, or you have a container of nesachim, you have a container of wine, and you put it on the Mizbeach, Says the Gemara, leave it there. Says Rabbi Gamliel, leave it there. Says Rabbi Yeshua, take it off. But what would be the halacha, according to Rabbi Yeshua, which is probably the more likely scenario, where you spritzed, where you did zrikas adam on the mizbeach, dam that you shouldn't have. We're going to learn about a lot of different types of dam that you shouldn't have done the zrika. What would Rabbi Yeshua hold? Do you have to take a shmata and wipe it off? Say Rabbi Yeshua, of course not. He's saying, if it's easily removed, so the halacha ma'ala lo yerid doesn't apply. But the Torah certainly didn't require that if you did zrika with dam that you weren't supposed to, that you have to take a rag and wash it off. Before we say the last line in the Mishnah, just to review something that we've discussed many times. We know from our tefillos, specifically in Rosh Chodesh and in Yom Tovim, that when we bring a carbon, the Torah requires us to bring the sachim along with the carbon. Sachim means wine, mincha, to come along. But also, and I think we've learned this concept previously, there's a concept called carbon nesachim. Somebody could go and voluntarily donate a carbon nesachim. Says Rav Gamliel, says Rav Shimon, hazavach kosher v'nesachim psulim. If you have a situation where your carbon remained kosher, but your nesachim got posel. Or a nesachim ksherim, where your nesachim remain kosher, and your zevach a posel. Or a filo zev v'zeb psulim. They both become disqualified. Hazevach lo yered v'nesachim yeredim. Rav Shimon is teaching us that only, that if nesachim are the type of Nesachim that are brought along with other Korbanos, which is the typical case of Nesachim, those Nesachim are removed from the Mizbeach if they're put on when they're disqualified. However, says Reb Shimon, he doesn't say it explicitly, but that's implicit. Let's say it's Nesachim that aren't part of a Korban, or rather it's a situation of a Korban Nesachim that somebody decided to donate. So since it's not part of a big Korban, those Nesachim, even if they become disqualified, Reb Shimon will hold to remain on the Mizbeach. And the way Rashi and most Rishonim explain Reb Shimon's opinion is Reb Shimon agrees with Reb Gamliel that this halacham olal yered is not limited to Korbanos. It includes Nesachim. But Reb Shimon is telling us there's a new halacha that if it's Nesachim that aren't brought independently, that these Nesachim are only brought along with a Korban, the halacham olal yered won't apply. There's a difficult Rambam, a very difficult Rambam. I'm just going to tell you the Rambam's opinion. I'm not going to try for and for the Rambam. Where the Rambam actually said that Shimon's opinion is in line with Rabbi Yeshua. The difficulty, obviously, is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, all Nesachim are taken off the Mizbeach. So why would Rabbi Shimon hold that Nesachim that are brought independently should remain there? Begins the Gemara. Roy loy in, shen roy loy. The Mishnah began, Mizbeach mekadosh es haroy loy. Again, the way that Rishonim explained the Gemara's question is that the Mishnah is teaching us that some items, there's a halachim olal yared, and some items, the halachim olal, some items im olal yared, and some halachim olal yared. So, according to Yeshua, we can easily identify what those items are. Anything that's not burnt. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, that we just learned that even liquids that are not burnt, im olal yared, so what does the Mishnah mean when it says Hamizbeach Mekadosh as Haroyloi, that only certain items have that rule? Roiloi in Shiroyloi loy, Lemute mai. What does it come to me, Matt? Amara Papa, Lemute Kmotzim Shloi Kitchu the Kli. We've learned this halacha, that what is the proper way to bring a Korban Mincha? The proper way of bringing a Korban Mincha is first take a Kli Sharis and put all the ingredients into the Kli Sharis. Then take those ingredients and make kmitza, and then put them into a kli sharis, and then you mak them on the mizbeach. And the Gemara is teaching us, even Rabbi Gamliel that holds that it doesn't have to be the meat that the aloch is im olal yared, but if you didn't put the kmitza in the keli, that kmitza is not a kmitza that should be put, that the aloch is im olal yared. And there, if you put it on the mizbeach and it's disqualified, it should be removed. Why? So there are essentially two ways of understanding the Gemara. The easier way of understanding the Gemara is that it's not considered a kmitza until you put that kaimitz into a kli sharis. So here, if you didn't put it into the kli sharis, you don't have a kaimitz. So it's just some flour. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is that it doesn't become lach moishah mizbeach. This is the way the Brisk Rav explains the Gemara. It doesn't become the food of the mizbeach until it has that placing into the kli sharis. And therefore, the dinam olal yared was only said on something that belongs to the mizbeach. Before the putting into the kli sharis, it doesn't belong to the mizbeach. Ask the Rishonim, that we have learned, and we will learn, in Masechta Menachos, that Rav Shimon's opinion is that putting the kaimitz into the kli sharis is not, after you did the kmitza, is not that essential. So what will our Gemara do with that opinion? According to the opinion that holds that putting the kaimitz into kli sharis is essential, so Rav Papa's teretz is very understandable. But according to the opinion of Rav Shimon that you don't have to do that, so if you don't have to do it, certainly the kaimitz is already a kaimitz even before you put it into kli sharis. So we're back to our Gemara's question. In fact, maybe that's why some Rishonim say, the Rambam says Rav Shimon holds like Rav Yeshua to avoid that question. But the Rishonim gives two terutzim. One terutz is that the Gemara, the Rishonim suggests, the Shita says this terutz, could have given a very simple terutz. We're going to learn in the next Mishnah and the following Mishnayas, I alluded to it at the beginning of our parak, that the halacha is that there are a lot of items that the halacha is not im olal yardu. There are a lot of halacha items im olal yardu. So that's what the Mishnah means. That these items im olal yardu, but we're going to learn in the next Mishnayis In the coming Mishnayos, Dir Halacha is of Olu Yardu. Why didn't the Gemara give that obvious teretz? So the Rishonim say, because it's too obvious. So the Gemara wanted to say that the Mishnah is obviously teaching us something that's not obvious and what's not explicit in the following Mishnayos. This Mandam, we're going to have to say that's what the Mishnah comes to teach us. But then there's another teretz. What happens when they make a Karban Mincha? So when they make a Karban Mincha, we know, we discussed this, there are various ingredients, the flour and the oil, which are mixed together, and you take the chametz. But on top of that mixture, there's levoina, spice called levoina. The halach is, after you take the chametz, you take the levoina along with the chametz. So Rav Shimon is going to be teaching us that if you took the levoina before you took the chametz, so taking the levoina and putting it on the mizbeach without chametz is a meaningless placing. There the halacha will be, even according to Gamliel, that the halacha is that on everything, if it's put on the mizbeach, it should remain there. That levoina doesn't belong in the mizbeach, because the levoina before the kmitza is a meaningless act. Ask the Gemara, Mask Laravina, Maishnama de Ula, why is this any different from what Ula taught us? Dama Ula, Emuri Kachim Kalim, Shehel of Nezrikas Damim, that if you have, the way you normally do by carbon, is you first you do the Zrikas Dam, and then you put the Amorim. What happens if you went out of sequence, and you first put the Amorim, and then you put the dam, the halacha is lo yerdu. Nasu, why? Nasu lach mishum mizbeach. Why? Putting the Amrim before the Zrika is like putting the kaimitz before you put into the Kli Sharis. So why is Ula lenient there and not here? Answers the Gemara. Hanoch lo mechasru ma'as v'gufayu. There's nothing that you have to do to the Amrim. They really should wait. But the Amrim are the Amrim. Whereas here, because the kaimitz should have been put into the klisharis. So we learned in the Mishnah that machloikus or gemilir of Yeshua, and I actually forgot to say this. I was thinking, and I saw this in one sefer also, that perhaps the machloikus or gemilir of Yeshua, the gemilir says that everything that's put on the mizbeach should remain there. And Yeshua says that only kabanis, the meat itself, nothing else, is dependent on the shayla that we began with. Rav Gamliel says anything put on the mizbeach should stay there. He doesn't start making differences. Why? Because Rav Gamliel's opinion is that the mizbeach is koilet. Doesn't make a difference what it is or how it is. Whereas Rav Yeshua, who's much more limited, says because it did in the carbon. Something that's a part of the carbon remains, something else not. Just a machshava. Yeshua, I'm a color royal ishan. Rav Gamliel, nami hooks. What was Yeshua's basis? Because the Torah spoke about ishan, what's burnt. Ask the Gemara, what would Rav Gamliel do with that pasuk? Rav Gamliel nami haksiv oila magda. Answers the Gemara, who laduri paikunudasa. He said that that pasuk is coming to teach us a different rule altogether. That pasuk is coming to teach us that if something is being burnt on the mizbeach, it should be, and it flies off, it should be put back. Vidach, and Rav Yeshua, who uses this pasuk to teach us that alochem alala yerdu is limited to what's burnt on the mizbeach, ask the Gemara, Ladurib Paikim Nale. Answer the Gemara, Nafgle Mashatoichel Ha'esh. Vidach, Homi Baile. What will Rabbi Gamliel use that pasuk for? Teach us, La Kuli Oila Tamachser. You only have to return the Kuli Oila. Viatamachser Kuli Ktiris. Let's say parts of the Ktiris flew off the Mizbeach. You don't return them. The Tani Rab Chanina Bar Menumi Bar Rab Leza Ben Riyakov. To teach us a kule oila atamachser, viatamachser kule chatoris. You don't put back the kule tiris. Vidach, and where will the other man dam learn from? It says, lamamelish memina. Because if the Torah specifies a kule oila mahadrinon, the Torah is teaching us that only the oila has to be put back, not the tiris. The other one says, no, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us this halacha. Two interesting questions. The Brisker Rav asks, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the kulei ktiris should not be returned? Of course they should be returned. What is the halacha with the ktiris? The halacha of the ktiris is that you put on the mizbeach on the fire. So of course, once you put them on the mizbeach on the fire, you did your mitzvah. So why would I have to put it back? Says the Brisker Rav, that's not the full mitzvah of ktiris. The full mitzvah of ktiris is shiyal ashna, that the smoke should come up. So let's say you put ktiris on the mizbeach, and they immediately fly off before there's any smoke. So I would think that you haven't completed the mitzvah of Ketairis, and you should therefore put it back. Teaches us the Gemara that you don't. But then there's a very interesting discussion amongst the Achroinim, a very important discussion. The Gemara, everybody agrees, we just don't know from which pasuk, that if you put a carbon on the Mizbeach, a carbon that belongs to the Mizbeach, and it flew off, it should be returned. So Mefarshim discuss, what does it mean that it should be returned? Doesn't mean it's just something that flew off, put it back on. Or is it to be understood that it's considered a new avoida? There'll be a lot of nafkaminas. Two very important nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, may only a kohen put it back on, or can even a Yisrael put it back on? If we're going to say that it's part of the original avoida, putting the meat on the mizbeach, is certainly limited to kohanim. Or there's another rule. The halacha is that whenever you put something on the mizbeach, you have to salt. You have to salt it. So here what happened? You put the oil on the mizbeach, you salted it, and then it flew off. So now when you put it back on, will you have to salt it again? If we'd say just putting back something that fell off, so then a Yisrael could do it, salting won't be required. If, on the other hand, it's considered an avoida, it'll be limited to kahanim, and perhaps it will have to be resalted. Where else is the Shailon Ageil Maisa? Shabbos. Because Shabbos, as I said earlier in our shir, you're only allowed to put on the Mizbeach on Shabbos something that belongs on the Mizbeach. So if we're going to say you're just putting back what flew off, you wouldn't be allowed to do it on Shabbos. It's Chil Shabbos. If, on the other hand, it's considered that the void is not done until it's put back on, then you will be allowed to do it even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Ramliel I'm a Kolaroi. Ramliel said anything that could be put on the Mizbeach should be put in all the Yerid, even if it's not something that's burnt. Ask the Gemara, Rav Yishua Nami Hiksiv Mizbeach, what does Rav Yishua do with Rav Gamliel's Pasuk? My Tama Kam Rachmani. The way to understand the Gemara is to teach us my Kam Rachmani. What does the Pasuk mean when the Pasuk says Kol Haroi Lamoitai? To teach us the Kol Haroi Lamoitai, anything that could be burnt, Mekadosh Mizbeach becomes Kadosh by the Mizbeach that it should remain there. Vidach, Regemliel, what is he going to say? Isn't that a good explanation in the Pasuk? He answers, Mizbeach Achriniksev. There's another Pasuk that uses this words. The Pasuk says, Kolon is gave Mizbeach Yigdosh. The Pasuk in there doesn't speak about fire, so we see that it's not limited to something that's burnt on the Mizbeach. Va'ad, Vidach, so how does Rabbi Shul respond? It says the Gemara, Ha chad the heichad aloi hoisloi shas kosher. One is come to teach us that kabonis that were fine and afterwards became pasul, the chad, and the other pasuk is l'heichad hoisloi shas kosher. That sometimes that the carbon became disqualified already at the moment of shechita, so it never had a moment that it could be brought on the mizbeach. Still, the halach is it can remain in the Mizbeach. The Idach, how will Rav Gamliel agree? How will Rav Gamliel respond? Says Rav Gamliel, Kivin the Psulun Ninu. Since both of these are disqualified items, Rabbin Rachmana, and still the Torah told us that in Olo Lo Yerid, that halacha applies, Loshana Lohais Loshasa Kosher, Loshana Lohais Loshasa, there's halacha in Olo Lo Yerid. Rav Shimon Aimer, we learned in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rav Shimon, he distinguished between nesachim that are brought independently versus nesachim that come along with a carbon. Tanya, Rav Shimon Aimer, Oila. The Torah says Oila. Ma Oila haba b'fnei atzma b'glal atzma. An Oila is brought for your its own independent chiyuv. Af kol haboim b'glal atzma. Only kabbonis that come for their own independent need is their halachim olula yardu. Yotz nesachim haboim a carbon that's only nesachim that are brought only because they must accompany a carbon, there is no halachim olala yardim. Rav Yosef Glili says, Metach Shenemar, the Torah says, Kol hanegei mizbeach yigdash. Shmeini. So if I have that word, I say, Bein dover roi, or Bein dover shenu roi. The Torah says, Kol hanegei, anything. Tamaloymer. The Torah adds the words kvasim. What does the Torah say, the word kvasim? Ma kvasim ruyin. Kvasim, animals that belong on Mizbeach, that's where it is Alochim Olala Yardu. Af Kol, only something that has a place on the Mizbeach. Rav Akiva Oymer, Ma Oyla Ru'uya, the Oyla, the Halacha is, belongs in Mizbeach, Af Kol Haruya. So obvious question is, Ma Binayu. They're both really saying the same. They're just coming from a different place. He's using the word Kvasim, he's using the word Oyla. But what is the practical Nafgamina? Omar Rav Adabar Hava, Oyla Sa'oy Psula. What would be the Halacha if Oyla Sa'oy got disqualified? What will be the halacha if it was put on the Mizbeach? Will the halacha of Olala Yared apply or not? Ikavinayu. Mar, Rabbi Kiva says, Maisla says, we learn from the word Oila. And therefore, Oila, Oila Sa'if is included in the word Oila. And therefore, even on an Oila, the halacha will be, even on an Oila Sa'if, the halacha will be in Olala Yared. Mar, whereas Rabbi Yosef Glili learns it from the word Kvasim, it has to be an animal. Oila Sa'if is not an animal. Ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Maisle, but according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, that he learns it indeed from the word Kvasim, but doesn't the Torah use the word Haksiv Oila? Doesn't the Torah use the word Oila? Seemingly it's a broader word, not limiting it to animals. Answers Rabbi Yosef Glili. Iksiv Kvasim, if the Torah would have used only the word Kvasim, the like Ksiv Oila, and the Torah would have not have used the word Oila, have Amina, Afilu Mechayim. That if animals that are baling mum were put on the Mizbeach when they were alive, the halacha would be im olala yardu. Kasrach mana. That's why the Torah used the word oila, to teach us only something that belongs to the Mizbeach, not a bal mum, but something that's a bal mum doesn't have the halacha im olala yardu. But it has nothing to do with the din of oila sa'if. Ask the Gemara, and according to Rabbi Kiva, Ulamanda Maisala Oila, according to Mandam that says we learn Oila. And therefore he's including even Oila Sa'if, but doesn't the Torah use the word Kvasim? Haksiv Kvasim, answers Rabbi Kiva, Iksiv Oila. If the Torah would have used just the word Oila, like Siv Kvasim, have a mina fila mincha. The even a carbon mincha, the halacha, is that a disqualified carbon mincha, if it's put on the Mizbeach, should remain there. Kasif Rachmana, that's why the Torah uses the word kvasim, to teach us that it has to be a living animal. But it's something that's not living cannot be left in the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, my ikabet hani tanai. So what is the practical naftamina between these two tanoim that we just learned? Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva versus lahani tanoi de masnisis versus the tanoim whose opinion was stated in our Mishnah. Amar Papa, Kvatsim Shekotsh Bekli Ikka Benayu. The Nafgamina will be, going back to the top of Omid. Let's say you took the Kaimitz, and you put it in the Klishar. So you did it perfectly. So Latan Don, according to the name of our Mishnah, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, the Loch is Layerdu. Cert, why? Because Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, even Rabbi Yeshua, who's the Machmer in our Mishnah, says that anything that's burnt remains on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Gamliel certainly says that. So the mincha is burnt. So the fact that it doesn't come from an animal is irrelevant. The proba, according to Rabbi Yeshua, is that it's burnt. According to Gamliel, he's even more makel, because he includes nesachim. Whereas latan and the masnisa, according to Yosef Glili and Rabbi Kiva, since it's a mincha, so it doesn't come from a living thing, even though it's something that's burnt, the halacha is yerdu, it should be removed from the mizbeach.